Honorable Rahm Emanuel joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mayor.
How are you?
Good.
Anna, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I want to start with, obviously, what's happening around the world here. If I could just for a second ask you about this.
Sure.
I know you talked to Steve Cochran this morning. You're talking about preparedness. But obviously now with disturbing frequency, we're hearing about major attacks, major cities, major installations around the world. And when that happens, how do American cities, and specifically Chicago, change their security posture, if at all?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, you know, we were on the phone this morning with the FBI and other intelligence agencies, and there's no credible threat to anywhere in the United States or Chicago specifically for us. That doesn't mean you don't act more vigilant. So we've put a bigger presence on our public transportation, our aviation systems here in Midway. But it's more for a presence, obviously. Intelligence is airtight, but there's no credible intelligence. And we take all the precautions and also know that our efforts, police, fire, Office of Emergency Response, our federal partners, we do what is called tabletop exercises all the time. So this is we're going to have to get smarter. Because after Paris, after Brussels, mm-hmm. after 9/11, after San Bernardino, they're determined, and we have to do everything we can to what is called harden things like O'Hare, our subway system, Midway, but also provide an ability through our responses to prevent that from ever happening.
How much intelligence, Mayor, do you get from the people of Chicago? Are people speaking up when it comes to strange things they see? I know we've seen cities, mayors from cities around the world actually stand up today and make that plea to their citizens.
We all make that plea, you know, see something, say something. And there are cases and around the globe where individuals have spotted something that has allowed us to take, preventive action.
Mm-hmm.
And so the police and the security system can't be everywhere, and that's why an actively engaged public is essential for the type of preventive work you want from terrorists.
Yeah. All right. So I know.
Let me say one thing. It is a. I said it in my statement, but I talked to the Belgian general counsel this morning. Put a statement out. Obviously, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, our thoughts are with the people of Belgium, but also specifically Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we may be an ocean apart, but we're not apart in spirit, and we're not apart in values. We're shoulder to shoulder. And this is important for us to stand with the people of Brussels like we stood with Paris. And I have personal note, as I told the general counsel here, my daughter and I flew out of that airport this summer when we went on our bike trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of Americans, people flying out of O'Hare end up at that airport because and as a matter of fact, that was the terminal that was hit, is the American terminal.
Right.
Obviously, the Belgian Airlines flying in out of there. If you're going to other parts of the world,
that's a central airport.
Right, yeah, it's a transit, or to parts of Africa or Asia, too. It's a very central airport.
Seat of the EU and NATO.
Right. Oh, can I just ask you, as a former chief of staff and a, Washington guy for a long time, this debate now about NATO that's going on in the presidential race,
right.
And then a day later, the seat of NATO gets hit.
Yes.
How important do you think NATO is to all of this?
As a target or NATO to the United States security?
NATO to U.S. security, world security.
Essential. Top.
Yeah.
These are, the countries and the people that make up Europe, from Portugal to, the Baltic and Balkan countries and everything between, mm-hmm. represent not only a firm defensive cooperation and allies, but because of the values we share. And so NATO is... and will continue to play a central role in our security and safety and our ability to project our power around the world to secure that safety and here at home.
Now, I wanted to – I know one of the things that you're announcing today is this revitalization or at least a 21st century approach to Chicago's lakefront and to the park system and all that, and the river. And the river, obviously, the river's had a significant. It's in the middle of a significant redo here, and Mr. Mayor, I'm one of those guys who I'm quick to criticize things I don't know much about. But I got to tell you, it is.
Well, you're made for public life.
I know. I really am. I know. I'm a
perfect.
Absolutely.
I'm quick to criticize things I know nothing about.
Right.
I love
exactly.
That.
Yeah. I'm very quick to criticize things I know nothing
about. You own up to it.
I know. I'm very Trumpian in that respect. Mm-hmm. The river is. It is a great project. It screws up my sneak of Lower Wacker Drive, but it is a great looking project when you're in it.
Well, here's the ultimate vision, and what we're going to do on both the lake and the river, is to be a unique city in the United States to have two distinct waterfronts that work for our recreation, our quality of life, and our commercial vibrancy. And I announced 4 years ago, and we're on our way, that the river will be our next great recreational park. This summer, we'll complete all four boathouses. Three are already open for canoeing, kayaking, and sculling. Mm-hmm. We'll complete the river walk. Just allows you to enjoy during lunchtime and evening where friends meet the river. And then we're on the north and south branch for the next 4 years. We will have about every mile a public access point for walking, biking, running, or canoeing, kayaking on the river. And we're going to, let's be honest, 100 years ago, it was all industrial traffic. Mm-hmm. I closed the two coal plants, and now we're making it recreational. Canoeing and kayaking are off the charts. On the lake, two separate places. We're going to have distinct, a bike path one place, a running path the other, so you don't have to bike or run with, on your left, being screamed at you.
Right.
And then 7 miles of the path will be totally repaved. And then on the side of that, with the north and south dividers, and on the side of it will be crushed, softer ground for those of us, as I said, have 20-year-old aspirations with 50-year-old knees. And then we're going to have the music shell at Baltimore, the rock climbing down at South Steelworks, the pool and party space at 31st Street Harbor, Yoko Ono's artwork, and we're going to have more sculpture. And we're going to make the lakefront. It is tremendously great. And mm-hmm. we'll finish by 2018 the Navy Pier flyover, so it's continuous, meaning it will be the only place where you have 18 miles like that along a waterfront of open space for biking, running, and walking. And that will also be true for the lake, parts of that. And so that doesn't even count the 2,020 acres of nature preserve we're going to build through 2020, by the year 2020,
and that's
and all the programming.
In the United States, I mean, that's an excellent point, actually, because, right. We talk about that. Also, the Inland Harbor System, it's one of the largest in the world. In a city, mm-hmm. There are so many assets here, and it is a good thing to focus on, I think, at the moment too. And it's a good public works project. But again, everybody's going to ask you this: where does the money come from, given all the other problems?
Let me say this also. It is going to improve the quality of life for the city, and that's why you have to have that vision. And then everything we've done. Now, two things I would say to you, Ro, is everything I said we were going to do in 2011. Four boathouses, 325 playgrounds, five Millennium Park projects for Maggie Daly, Northern Island, 606, West Ridge, Little Park, Big Park, and Little Village. All completed, all paid for. We will get all these things done, we will pay for them, and I would note to you, they're an incredible return on investment. First of all, it dramatically increases property values, dramatically increases people's quality of life. It keeps our kids safe and engaged, and every investment we make in a park, whether it's on property values or the recreation of our kids, the quality of life and the sense of our enjoyment, improves the value of the city has to offer. And so, and we did it for 4 years. Nothing here I laid out, we're not going to get done. Now, 606 was done with the federal CMAC grant and private dollars. The park district in facility, the ice skating rink and gymnastics center in Beverly Park was park district money, state money, TIF money, and other types of resources. So every project will be different. Let me say this. The assemblage of finances will be studied at Harvard Business School for years to come. But that said, we got it all done.
Yeah.
And we're going to get all this done. And here's the thing. I use this example today. when Amy and I were buying a house, one of the selling points was, you know, four lots up was a pocket playground.
Yeah, no question.
And you go back to your own family. You go back to your own childhood. You remember the park in your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
You remember where you played baseball. You remember where you played football. You remember what activities your parents. You know, the Park District's the largest after-school program in the city of Chicago.
It's a great way of looking at
it. Was for
I
me.
Know, Warren Park, cross street, they used to freeze the ice, the parking lot. We went ice skating.
Yeah.
We went sledding.
It was lumpy, though.
Big. It was lumpy, but you learned how to fall down.
That's how you got to be a figure skater.
That's how you got to be tough, right?
Yeah.
I want to ask, Mr. Mayor, I want to ask you about politically and socially what's going on right now, though, too, because I think there's a movement that we've all noticed locally, nationally, that people feel disenfranchised. They feel like our leaders are not for the people, and they feel like the transparency is not there. And it may be a big part of why Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are soaring with so much popularity right now nationally. But locally also, you've said yourself, you have some work to do in order building bridges and trust in our community. And how do you think that's going? What is the plan for the future here?
Well, give you an example. Everything, and I don't mean to shoehorn what I did today, I asked Mike Kelly, the superintendent of parks, in May, I want you to go out into the community like our cultural plan and engage people what they wanted to see. When I announced the Paseo in Pilsen this weekend, that was from the Pilsen residents for the last 10 years. They designed that idea. 606 was the Logan Square Neighborhood Council for decades was advocating something. So we're listening to what people want on that and then investing in their ideas and the ideas they generate. You know, it's public safety, if you're asking about that, I've had a series of community meetings with commanders in the local area, with church leaders, business leaders, chamber, neighbor, block club presidents, all talking about different ideas. And the core issue is people want to see and know the officer by name in their community and the officer to know them by name. And we have to create a context to always build on the tenets of community policing. And investing in our neighborhood parks and doing it with our partners in the community is how we build that conversation. People are cynical about those of us in public life for a whole host of reasons, regardless. They're bipartisan in their cynicism about us, regardless of background. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you got to do, and I try to work on, I pledged certain things in 2011 about our parks, and we fulfilled them. You can't say certain things in the campaign and then not do them in government. I pledged we were going to have a full school day and a full school year for our kids. It was a battle to get it done, but we got it done. I pledged we were going to have a full day of kindergarten for every child, not just half our children. Got that done. Mm-hmm. And saying something and then doing it builds the trust, because people know when you say something, you're committed to seeing it through to the end.
Is there any timetable for the naming of the new superintendent for the police? Because obviously this is part of the issue.
Right.
We've all seen the crime statistics. We know what's going on. There's a lack of trust in the system. I think even within the department, the officers themselves have a lack of trust or belief that they're going to be supported.
Right. And this is my big thing. Look, the last 2 months, our officers feel like, you know, they don't have the support. And I keep, like I did today in the park speech, I called out two commanders who started different programs for kids in parks volunteer-wise. We have great officers. They're doing a great job. We need to support them. There is no doubt they feel put upon right now, and it's having an impact on them. They're only human. The problem we have is we got pretty emboldened gang members and officers who are chastened because of how they feel. We have to reverse that dynamic. And, you know, to the issue on the superintendent, I don't want to make a quick decision. I want to make the right decision, because I want to boost the confidence of our men and women in uniform, who right now, as you and I are talking, somebody's responding to a 911 call.
No question.
You're never going to read about it. You're never going to hear about it.
Right.
And why? Job well done. Job done professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up our officers. Thank them for the job they're doing. Everywhere I go, I try to shake their hand and say thank you. When somebody does something wrong, we'll hold them accountable. When they do well, we also have to hold them up. And it can't be one-sided conversation. And they chose this as a profession, and they need our support. I'm going to look at a superintendent that helps build the community trust we need, that's essential. But I'm going to also look at it in a way that boosts the morale of our department. Baltimore went through this. Other cities have gone through this, where the world to our officers changes so dramatically. They don't know how to kind of get their footing. And we as residents who count on them, have a role to play to help them.
And but I think also as a government, they have to feel supported as well.
Sure.
Do you think that the superintendent will come from this group, these three that you've now been handed?
I'm meeting with them. I know everybody's. I'm as eager as you are to, you know, kind of come to some form of a conclusion. That said, I don't want to rush it. I want to get it right rather than get it quick. Okay?
All right.
It's an important post. Thank you, Mayor.
I'm Emmanuel. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
See you guys.
All right. All right. Violetta Potter Medic has got the WGN traffic trail spots, including those on the lakefront near where Rahm is going to beautify all things.
Do you think he'll stop by Chicago Picnic, try a hot dog?
That is the most shameless plug for your own business I have ever heard. Surprised you did not do that with him.
Oh, right, you know, I waited until he hung up. Is he still there?
Yeah. Hello? All right.
I'll take the silence as a yes.